take this opportunity to welcome all the honorable members, welcome the department in her full force. I can see on my left, the department is in full force. So, whatever. Let's welcome the minister and your team. Welcome. I saw the AG team is still here. Yeah, no? No, they must be ready. Or they are observing. But permit. Okay. One day I'll be fine. Yeah. So his face is not here. But it's fine. Honorable members, we've got to start working. We've got to start working, which is the reason why we're paid. We're paid because we work. The agenda is before us. I think we did introductions. No, we didn't. With the department, no. Let's start afresh. Taban, introduction start with you. Tell the world who are you and why are you here.
Okay. The gentleman next to me, Chairperson.
Let him start.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. My name is Masete Letswalo from the National Department of Social Development in the Monitoring and Evaluation Unit. Thanks.
Sanbonani Thabani Buthelezi from the National Department of Social Development, Chief Director for Monitoring and Evaluation.
Good morning, honorable chair members. My name is Clifford Apple in Finance, DSD.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members and minister. My name is Peter Nechpare, DDG for Community Development.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members, minister. My name is Sipho Zwane, Strategy and Business Development, SASSA.
Good morning, my name is Raphatle Ramokgopa, Strategy and Business Development, SASSA.
What is Puta to you? Proceed. Proceed.
Good morning, Chair, members, and Minister. My name is Busisiwe Mahlabogwana. I'm in SASSA Legal Services.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, and honorable minister. My name is Cesar Vundule from the Fraud and Compliance Department at SASSA.
Good morning, Chair, members, minister. I'm Diane Dunkley, responsible for grants administration in SASSA.
For what?
Grants administration.
I can't hear.
Grants.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fine. I don't want to tell you what I thought you would say. Proceed.
Good morning, Chair, Honorable Minister, Honorable Members. My name is Tandi Sivanyoni from SASSA Corporate Services.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honorable Members, our Minister and colleagues. My name is Abraham Mahlangu. I'm from ICT at SASSA.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, Honorable Minister. My name is Takeriwa Chauke. I'm the Chief Financial Officer within SASSA.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honorable Members, and Honorable Minister. My name is Brenda Sibeko. I'm the DDG for Social Security at the Department of Social Development International.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Minister, colleagues. My name is Nelly Vilakazi from the department responsible for strategy and organizational transformation. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson.
Oh, Nelly, are you responsible for strategy and organizational transformation?
Yeah. It's sticking for the first time in my head. Proceed.
Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Chair, the Honourable Members and the Honourable Minister. My name is Sibina Tapolosa. I work in the office of the Minister.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members and Honourable Minister. My name is Connie Ngumalo. I'm the DDG responsible for Welfare Services Department.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Minister and colleagues. My name is Tamom Zobe, the CEO for National Development Agency. Thanks.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Members. Good morning, Minister, DG, CEOs, colleagues. My name is Motswa Homopa Bingodi in the Office of the Minister. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Ministers and colleagues. I'm the Chief Passion Officer called the CEO of SASA. What Chief Passion Officer, I'm supposed to ignite the passion of each and every person within SASA.
Chief what?
Passion Officer.
Alala. All right.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, Chairperson and members. My name is Lindiwe Zulu. I'm the Minister of Social Development and I'm the assistant on the Passion Flow.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members, CEOs and colleagues. My name is Mzolisi Toni. I'm the driver of the Passion.
Everyone must be known.
Good morning, Chairperson, good morning, Minister, and members of Parliament. My name is Yoli Sakanye. I'm the content advisor of the committee.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Monde Kungubele, the chair of the committee.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, the minister, and the any other departmental officials in presence. My name is Lindy Wensabo. I'm the committee secretary. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Morning. My name is Dikang Stock. I'm a member of the portfolio committee. Thanks.
Nimshiwe tilinkwenu nishishimana minister wa hina Lindiwe, nishishimana mtshami wa xitulu, nishishimana ti member ta hina ta parlamente. Na n'wina lava ma humaka ka department ni mi xixima vito ra mina i Jane wa ka Mangani na Khensa.
I xitule kahle.
Dumelang modula xitulo, le minister wa rona. Ni vito la ka ke Anastasia Motaung, ke leloko la komiti.
Molweni. Dingunonkosi Mvana, ilungu le komiti.
Sanibonani sihlalo nongqoshi nabo bonke abalani. Igama lami nguBridget Masango, ngilungu lale komiti.
Good morning, Chair, morning, Minister, morning, members, morning, officials. Alexandra Abrams, and I'm a member of this portfolio committee.
Molweni nonke ngale ntsasa. Ndinguthandi Mphambo Sibhukwana, ndililungu lale komiti. Ndiyanibulisa nonke.
Goedemorgen, good morning, Minister, Honourable Minister, Chairperson and all the members, as well as all the officials from the department. My name is Mari Sukers and I'm a member of this committee.
Good morning, Chairperson, good morning, Honourable Minister and everyone in the room. My name is Delisile Kangwenya. I'm a member of this committee, thank you.
Move, Jessica, move.
Good morning, Mr. Chairperson, members of the committee and colleagues. My name is Jessica Longway and I'm the parliamentary and cabinet liaison officer.
Good morning, Minister, Chairperson of the committee and the members. Umphimetse Sidibe from Auditor General.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members, Minister. My name is Tseho Mpempe from the Auditor General.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Faith Ndenze from the Parliamentary Communication Services.
Uh, is this how, so, my friend, is it, does it mean you'll be running around with that mic? Is that the situation? Yeah, no? So, I hope you are fit for that job. Thank you very much. Honorable members,
where is this agenda? Where is this copy? Okay.
Having done those introductions, it's a moment to look at if there's any apologies, Secretary.
Yes, Chairperson, there's only one apology from Honorable Fanameve, who is not well.
Honorable Fanameve is not well. That's the only apology we have. I assume it's accepted because we don't prescribe health. The only task we have is to support those who are not well to get well quickly. I propose that we deal with the agenda as it is, unless somebody has got something so fundamental. If we don't deal with it today, South Africa will collapse. If there's no such, we proceed to ask the minister to lead the dance. Honorable Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Now it's from the passion to the dance.
Hello? Diko? That's my understanding. You want to say something? Is the meeting being recorded? It's supposed to.
We, as Parliament, we don't have the recording. The mic is on.
You can take it out. It's
hold it to you. Ufungile will confirm whether there will be recordings, but normally we have the parliamentary monitoring group that records all the parliamentary proceedings.
In a way, it's recorded, but maybe not in a particular way. The bottom line, there will be record. Okay. Thanks, Honorable Abrams. I like speaking without holding this thing. Right? Honorable Minister?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honorable members, respectfully, a very good morning. To you all again, I think the first thing I'd like to do is to make an apology for the Deputy Minister who is not here. She's in another activity of the department. I'd like to thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee for granting the department and its entities this opportunity to present our 2018-2019 annual reports. And I do want to say upfront, Chairperson, that this is the sixth administration. We carry the responsibilities of the fifth administration because this is one government. And I think for whatever the members of the Portfolio Committee raise as the meeting goes on, I want to upfront say that I will take full responsibility of everything that comes out of it because it's my responsibility to do that. Even if I'm a new minister in the post, the previous administration did a lot of work, and I said even in my previous engagements that we are one government and we take responsibility from one administration to the next. And so I want members to feel comfortable that if they've got issues that they need to raise throughout, I will take full responsibility in as far as the future work that needs to be done. So as we present these annual reports, I ask you to recall the outcomes of targeted results-based program planning, implementation and reporting workshop
that we, the department entities and the portfolio committee conducted in July, on Friday, 19 July 2019. And the reason why I'm raising this is I need it to be understood in the context that this is past activities, but past activities also have an impact in the future. And what came out of that workshop and the things that we said we're going to do in terms of approach of the way we're going to do our work, we will carry that into the future. We will recall that resulting from this workshop, we agreed that the adoption of the portfolio approach inclusive of provinces, together with the deliberate inculcation of outcome-based management methodologies towards our delivery, are indispensable to social development mandate. This combination is the most realistic towards the need to address the magnitude of the challenges that are before us. Moreover, through this combination, we will meaningfully neutralize the multiple accountability challenges that the department and the entities have been encountering over the years. And that the very reports that we referred to in the past, the BRRR, the legacy reports and all that, the Auditor General's reports of the past, they clearly indicated for us where the weaknesses are, where the challenges are. And our drive has to be focused on what are the remedial action, what are we going to do about all those things, even though we have a new plan going on. The new plan will be impacted upon by what was happening in the past. While the role of the national and provincial spheres of government have been explicit in most of our discussions, we also agree that we need to draw attention to the role of the local sphere of government, the coal face of government where ordinary people are, for this sphere to be the expression of all government's Kauleza intent. I think members are aware of the fact that the President Cyril Ramaphosa has already launched the district model, and we think that the district model, with the first experience we had in Lusikisiki, clearly indicated to us how we're supposed to change the manner in which we work. And we went to Lusikisiki collectively as the portfolio, and we are now preparing for eThekwini, and we're looking at the lessons learned in Lusikisiki going into eThekwini and planning. Consequently, we are thankful that Cabinet recently adopted the district coordination model. We believe that this model will serve as the institutional mechanism through which the agreements of our earlier workshop will be realized. Therefore, outcomes-based management of the social development mandate, the portfolio approach between the department, entities and provinces, and the institutionalization of the district-level coordination model of delivering social development services should collectively eradicate the conditions that give rise to poverty, to paraphrase the chairperson of the portfolio committee. Over the past few weeks, the department and its entities conducted their strategizing sessions for 2019-2024 medium-term strategic framework. And I must say here, Chairperson, the issues that arose from the workshop which we all had, I've tried my best to say, let's infuse those in that process of our strategizing session. And recalling that our strategizing session is for the 5 years. So with the 5-year presentation of what we're going to do and how we're going to approach things differently, including the annual report. So we didn't have the workshop for the fun of it. We had the workshop because we wanted to do things differently and where needed, radically differently, where necessary and where needed. And I must say in the conducting of the strategizing sessions, we brought the agencies into each one strategizing session. When the department did its own, the two entities had to be there. When SASA had to do its own, all of us had to be there. When NDA did its own, we all had to be there. So what I'm trying to say to you is that in your responsibility of holding us accountable, this is one of the areas where consistently the portfolio committee has to keep on asking us, you said this, you said that, you're saying to do that. Have you done it in the way in which you had promised us to do? So we fulfilled that. But of course, it's one thing to sit together and strategize. It's another when it gets to the implementation thereof. And one of my biggest problems, or one of the biggest problems that we face, is about how do we pull everyone at all layers of our administration and management into this understanding that we're trying to inculcate into our space as far as the sixth administration is concerned. As an indication of the challenges we are faced with, while the department had fewer targets, 53 during 2019-18 reporting period, its performance was poorer, 73%, than what it was during the 2017-18 reporting period, when it had 92 targets, 78% of these targets were achieved. This is a clear demonstration that efficient target setting does not mean effective delivery and transformation of our people's lives. As we agreed in that workshop, we need to change that so that people don't come here with 50%, 20%, and not dealing with the impact thereof, which should be at the center. Honorable members, this observation, as will be told by the presentation, is symptomatic of deep-seated and multidimensional challenges that one driver messenger of the department, Mr. Lucky Dipela. This is when I had the first meeting with all the 900. When I had the first meeting with all the department staff officials, I asked everyone to speak their minds, and Mr. Lucky Dipela, I keep going back to him because he is a driver in the department, and he simply said to me, "Minister, this department does not have leadership, it has bosses." And for me, that said a lot, because this is somebody who's taken for granted. No, he just drives around, drops documents here and there like as if he can't see anything. It means that person sees. He sees when he picks up the documents to take them somewhere. He sees the way in which not only people relate to him, but the way they also relate to each other. So that's one of the things that this department, I have said, if a person who is a driver, because I don't take anyone for granted, he's also got a responsibility. If somebody like him sees things that way, what does it say of the entire institution? And that's the thing that we have to promise you, that it's part of what we need to do to change that mentality and that attitude to people who see themselves as leaders, people who first and foremost have the passion, as it has been said here, because you can't be here if you don't have the passion for the people that you are supposed to service. And if you have the passion for the people that you have to service, it means you must develop systems that are able to make sure that you deliver properly. He was correct in my experience, because that was the first meeting, and then I've been doing the meetings of the branches, branch by branch by branch. And I feel it, I see it, but I can assure you my energy towards it is about what do I do to fix it. I can't fix it alone, we have to fix it collectively, but I also think that the portfolio committee holding us accountable to certain things will also help in a way to make people to get up to that. Out of the meetings that we have had in the branches, I've then said to the DG, let us look at the cross-cutting issues which are common throughout in relation to human resource, in relation to attitude, in relation to a whole lot of things, because those meetings were meetings where people were free, were able to tell us how they feel about the department. But I turn back and I say to them, you are employed here to do the job. You can't complain to me. You've got to find a way of fixing it, because it doesn't help you to be complaining to me. I must take responsibility together with the DG and the DDGs and so forth. But at the end of the day, each person who is in the department has a responsibility and they've got to fix it. I hereby assure you, this sitting of the Portfolio Committee and all South Africans, that concerns about the department and its entities are with good reason. When looking at SASSA and NDA, I'm equally concerned. We will recall that SASSA has a recent history in the courts, and the publicity it received captivated the whole nation. Some of these litigations, not inclusive of the department's ever-growing heap of litigations, are there before me. Most concerning SASSA is the free-for-all and fraud-conducive culture that has been developing at all levels of this entity over the years. This is challenging us to uncompromisingly engender integrity in the social grant system. And I think we've started very well with the CEO of SASSA as well as the senior managers of SASSA. We've been to some of the regions, not all. We haven't covered all the regions. And again, even there, it's been a question of let's create a conducive environment where people are able to speak and freely speak. And this problem of fraud, we've got reports that are sitting in front of us, which were already instigated before, and those reports, like the Auditor General, they all have recommendations of what needs to be done. And for me, it's about focusing on that, but also it's about strengthening our monitoring and evaluation, because most of the time we've got tendency of like, you know, we've got this job, we've got this annual plan, then we go, and then after a while we turn back, we try to check what has gone wrong. Our M&E is poor. So my task, I'm seeing probably part of what needs to be done, some of that M&E has to sit in my office, connecting to the provincial M&Es, but also connecting to the national M&E. And you know, the national monitoring and evaluation, I must tell you, they sit and they take your reports and they put them in front of them. They analyze it. They tell you where your weaknesses are. They tell you where your strengths are. And it's not like we don't have a system that can be able to help us. It's about us as a department then taking the national M&E very seriously and saying, this is what they say the weaknesses are. How do we fix those weaknesses? Another of the entities that reports to the department is NDA. The NDA is the least visible and recognizable where our people are, which is a problem for me, because if you are a national development agency, people must know about you because you are about programs that are supposed to help uplift our people. The NDA is beset of serious governance, leadership systems and compliance challenges. There are suggestions that there may have even been instances in the NDA where institutional mechanisms were intentionally disregarded, if not weakened. And again, we wanting to confront those upfront. We've had a meeting already. We were part and parcel of their strat plan. We went there. And we've met already briefly with the board. And I think when it comes to the issues of the board and how it does its judiciary responsibilities and where does it come in, where does it not come in, there's been a problem there, which I think we should be able to resolve, because clearly directions as to what the board's responsibilities are is nothing new. There's the King 4, is it King 4 or 5? There's a whole set in the 25 years of democracy, we've managed to develop systems that should be understood, and there shouldn't be contestations as far as I am concerned. In the instance of both department and the entities, a new culture is certainly needed towards, one, saving those public servants within the institutions who continue to invest themselves in growing South Africa and creating the new South Africa we want from drowning, but also creating the South African who has to inhabit Africa. Reframing social development, center of public, private, civic, donor, community efforts, where the development of our economy and its people are a big concern, and our people are at the center. Realizing the creation of the South Africa we want. Currently, the ministry is considering all of these issues and recommendations that arose from my ongoing consultations with the staff members of the department and entities. The branch level consultative processes is nearing its completion. I think I'm left with only two of the branches to deal with. Moreover, the ministry is packaging the issue and recommendations of, among others, the following reports from substantive responses and action. The Portfolio Committee on Social Development in its activities undertaken during the fifth administration, as I said from the very beginning, the budgetary review and recommendation reports, which is usually referred to as the BRRR, the Auditor General's report, Cabinet Lekgotla outcome, and the handover report of Minister Susan Shabangu. Among the considerations and practical steps that will help us as a collective to transcend beyond the departments and entities' current challenges that are the necessity to practicalize the outcome of our earlier workshop on result-based program planning, implementation and reporting, appointment of a permanent director general. I suffered a lot in the previous department. There was too much Hollywood acting. This time around, I can't afford that. We need to make sure that we have permanent staff. Strengthening the oversight of entities through, for instance, targeted monitoring and evaluation and adherence to corporate governance principles. Directly linking the performance agreement of the Director General, Deputy Director General, Chief Directors, Directors and Deputy Directors to our results-based strategic plan, annual performance plans, institutionalizing consequence management. This is one of the biggest challenges, consequence management. And consequence management, sometimes it's taken to be something that belongs to the top. Consequence management is about, as long as you are a manager, the immediate around you, you have to manage that. And the next one above you has to do that. In government, sometimes there's a tendency of ticking in the box when it comes to that. And there's also a tendency of people covering each other, you know, not really being very honest in that process. So it's about developing systems, because human beings and systems, sometimes as human beings we think we can get away with things, but many a times we can't. Work towards the 7 priorities during the 2020-25 medium-term strategic framework, delivering against the NDP 5-year implementation plan and framing South Africa's development reality in the next 25 years. Informed by these, the social development mandate will embody outcomes that say each South African is South Africa's most valuable asset. Our people count, Chairperson. With those words, I will hand over back to the Chairperson, and thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Minister. Very interesting opening remarks of a minister committing to account, and she has been doing it consistently. Says, I submit. Now, that calls for a committee that knows what it wants. That's another challenge, and I hope the committee will be equal to that task. Without a waste of time, I would have spoken in my opening remarks, Minister, about, because I think we must, every time we specialize this department, in my opening remarks, I'm not an opening remark person, you might have discovered that. I just go to the business of the day, because sometimes opening remarks take a lot of time. But the Minister giving this overview, it gives us key principles that we want to hear from the Minister. The point I think we need to be seized with as a committee, which must stick in our minds, especially as this department, is gender-based violence and the programs that are involved. The immediate enemy of the day in the country. It's something that whatever we do, we should always think about it. Where men come to terms with the fact that South Africa is a nation of human beings, men and women, not men and women being in the list of the property of the man. Says, I've got children, I've got a car, I've got a wife. And immediately you always list them that. You put a woman as part of your assets, and the behavior tends to be like that, because that's how you react to your assets. And I think it's a matter that we must actually acknowledge at all material terms that it's a serious matter that is facing the country. Minister, we're taking it back to you. Can your team go to the exec? I wanted to propose, honorable members, There are areas where I'll be democratic, there are areas where I will not be democratic. Democracy doesn't always deliver. doesn't always deliver. There are two options. It's either we ask the DSD and all entities to present, and then when we discuss each. Or we discuss each, present, and which option do you prefer? The first one. A little. So what it means, Minister, when the DSD present, the other entity present, the other, when we start discussions, we'll sectionalize discussions. We can do better and more efficient work. This committee is known for ending its sessions. We don't want a committee that meets Lololo for the sake of it. There's work to be done. Minister?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I forgot in the beginning to request for an apology towards lunchtime, where I have to run to a meeting in Den Hays and come back. So that if you see me sneaking myself,
no,
if you see me sneaking out, don't think I'm being disrespectful. I forgot an apology. But I will give over, and I think we will all present and then engage. I'll give over to the DG, who will make a few remarks and then give to whoever needs to present the whole report.
Wait, you want the DG to make remarks?
No.
We think you have made them.
He's directing.
Yeah, thank you.
The department.
A committee of many remarks. The DG must implement. DG, we appreciate your remarks, but the minister has made.
Yeah. Thanks.
Did I see your hand, Mamba? Sorry. Who? Where is that thing? Somebody committed. Yeah, will be running around. He's supposed to be at the center, have a chair sitting here for logistic purposes. I mean, a lot of members have spoken without this thing. So somebody must put a chair here, jump with this thing, because that's how it's organized. So how you organize yourself, Nick, you must work in a manner consistent with the organization.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Just before the teaching, we have to at least comment some few things that are correct. And remember the first meeting when the minister made her remarks. She made mention of that she wants to turn around things in the department. I've seen that. I wish to commend the department. There are people, or I will say street...
Can I make a proposal?
Street people that are staying outside.
What you are doing is very good. There's no question about it. Can I propose that we make it when we respond to the presentation? I'm worried because there's a lot of things that might end up following in that pattern. What you are doing is good. What you are doing is good. I want to repeat that.
We want to make sure that we truncate and embellish what the minister has said through our full report. We need to admit, Chair, upfront, that we received a qualified opinion from the Auditor General as a result of a failure to adequately reconcile the transfers to SASSA for social grants. But Chair, Mr. Buthelezi and Clifford Appel, the CFO, will go through the presentation, but I must state upfront that we may not fully meet the expectations you've expressed that we should begin to report on the impact that we are making rather than just our interventions. As you are aware, Chair, we have over the past years focused on outputs in the way we plan and report on our work. In this presentation, Chair, we have made attempts to strengthen our presentation by also providing more detailed narrative to explain what we managed to achieve in an attempt to meet our set targets. We are still, Chair, on a learning curve with regards to what we have agreed through the Minister and through the Portfolio Committee in terms of the new approach, and we are committed to incrementally make improvement during this year as we would be ready to present the first. I would allow Tavane to do the presentation.
Thank you. Is that Tavane? I was focusing on a theory of change.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, Minister, and the members of the Portfolio Committee. I'm here to take you through, as you know, the purpose has been set by both Inglis and the DG, is to present before you the department's performance against its predetermined objectives as they were laid out in our APP of our last year of the fifth administration, which was year 18-19, and also, as indicated, which will be part B, is what my colleague, the CFO, Mr. Clifford Appel, will take you through in terms of our financial performance. As we started the fifth administration 2014, we as a department committed ourselves to a few priorities. And these were, one, to expand our child and youth care services, and wanted to achieve this through an ECB in the program. Secondly, we wanted to reform our social welfare sector so that we're able to have services that deliver better results. We thirdly wanted to deepen our social assistance and extend its scope. We also wanted to increase the access on early childhood development. We wanted to strengthen our community-based development intervention. And we committed ourselves to prioritize and to combat substance abuse as well as gender-based violence, and also to increase food, household food, and through the Food for All program. And these were some of the nine priorities that we set ourselves as we started the 2018, which was that particular MTSF 2014 until 2019. So the department, as you know, has got five programs. Program one, which deals with provide leadership and management of and support services for the department. There are various programs within that, including the strategy, the ministry, the DG's office, corporate services, finance, they are all within that particular program one. And then program two, which is about social assistance, that's where mainly the transfers for the payment of grants are located. Program three is a program in which we, as a department, deal with policies and legislation to do with social security and its administration. Program four is about welfare services. And lastly, we've got community development, which is crafted as social policy and integrated service delivery. I think the DG and the Minister have given the contextual background. I won't go to that slide. I've tried, Chairperson, to number my slides. So I'm sure if people would see at the bottom, it might not be very clear, but I'll skip these ones and come to slide number 10. What we want to depict here, as depicted by the slide here, is the extent to which over the past 5 years, this is during the fifth administration, we have performed, this is how we have planned our work, whereby we are saying if you look at the number of the APPs we have always been having, we tried to improve how we work, how we plan, so that it's much more focused. And you can see that by doing that over years, from year one of the MTSF, the number of targets that we've always been having has reduced, which is the note that I put at the bottom. And the next slide then shows what has then had to do with the performance. How has performance linked to the number of the targets that you have? You could see then, Chairperson, then honorable members, that for every time that we reduce on the number of targets that we have, which is, I would call it as a focus planning, the performance has improved. However, I need to admit that, as the DG had said, that we did not have a very, very satisfactory performance in the period under review, which is 2018-19, because we dropped by about 5% as compared to the previous year. You can see in 2017-18, we're at 78%. And if you look at the period under review, which the report I'm presenting today, we had a drop by about 5%, which is an area of concern and which we want to correct. I need to move now and look at how, as the AG, other than just what the DG has spoken about, because we are not only audited on annual financial statements, but we are also on performance information. We need to acknowledge the fact that for the 7 consecutive years, on performance information, there hasn't been any material findings from the opinion given to us by the AG, and they're looking into 2 areas. One is on if the performance information that we provide is useful. That is in accordance with the National Treasury annual reporting templates that are provided and principles. And secondly, if the information, performance information that we submit when they audit it, if it is reliable, that it is assessed to determine whether it was valid, accurate, and complete. So we are able to meet all their standards in terms of these 2 areas, and for 7 consecutive years, there hasn't been any material findings that was found on performance information. Now I want to move then to how each program has performed. Let's move to slide number 15. I'll start with administration, IR. On international relations, we, in the previous financial year, the period under review, we had made a commitment to facilitate about 8 international engagements, but of course, we ended up with about 21 as a result of many engagements. That the minister hosted quite a number of international delegations, and through that, as a department, we're able to support, by participating in many than those that are planned, we're able to support the adoption of important international resolutions that largely seek to protect and promote human rights, and these include, in particular, the rights of persons with disabilities, the rights for children, the rights for other persons, the youth, and so forth. So other than us having participated in some of the UN commissions, such as the Commission for Social Development, Commission on Population and Development, and Conference on States of Persons of Parties to the Convention of Persons with Disabilities, we're able to have other international engagements. Moving on to IT. On the IT, also within the Program 1, as a department, we wanted to establish the National Information, National Integrated Social Information System, which allows us to move towards that industrial revolution whereby we are able to have this e-government for settings, which is online. When we do our household profiling, every other government departments could be able to access it online and see which households have been profiled and be able to improve the services that we provide. However, I need to mention that we did not do well when it comes to that, because we did not receive much cooperation from other social protection partners in terms of other departments, but also because of limited resources that are dedicated to IT, this target was not fully met. On M&E, we had prioritized to conduct implementation evaluation on Project Mkonzo. Project Mkonzo was a community-based approach that we adopted as a department, number one, to try and bridge the gap between policy development, implementation, and exactly what is happening on the ground, because there's always been those consistent gaps. Secondly, in our view, we were doing Mkonzo also to determine our footprint that we have in communities, to see how much do we exist and in which areas that we need to improve. And we're doing this as a portfolio approach, meaning we're having all the... Excuse me, Chairperson.
Are you being interrupted? What is happening now? Is this how the situation is? Are you suggesting that somebody who's going to get out here must go and move out there?
Yes.
No, something is wrong.
please find a way of sorting it out. Proceed.
Thanks, Chairperson. So as MNE, as a department, we then conducted the implementation evaluation to see how the Mekonzo was evaluated. And part of the findings suggested that we need to continue to work as a portfolio, in meaning us as social development, the NDA as SASA, because that's when we're able to make at least much more better outcomes to the communities that we visit. The second part, also, we will be using this report to firm up our approach in response and in line with the district-based model that has been launched by the president in Lusikisiki, and it will inform us in terms of how then do we strengthen our work towards community-based planning and implementation. On the finance, we wanted to continue, of course, having unqualified opinions from the AG, and it means we are to improve the systems that we have in terms of controls and so forth. I think internally we've been able to do that, but I'll allow the CFO on his turn to present more on the finances and so forth. But there hasn't been major deviation in terms of other targets that we had put, but of course we do note that as the DG had admitted that we had qualified audit. Moving to social assistance, I think we appreciate that the provision of social assistance remains the cornerstone on the fight against poverty, inequality, especially amongst around the children, people with disabilities, as well as the older persons. And in the current context, of course, of the high unemployment, this then begins to be a major buffer, and especially during the shocks, economic shocks, they are able to smooth the consumption, especially at household. And this could be seen, on the number of social relief of distress applications that were awarded. In terms of our plans, we are planning to award about 252,833, but actually those that were actually awarded, they are almost over 50% or over 100%, as you could see there, but above 100. And this is on the basis, Chairperson, that the social relief of distress is more of a needs basis rather than relying only on what has been targeted. So as I said, given the number of unemployment, people will come to the department or SASA, apply for this relief, and this at times might not be sustainable. And so we need to consider how do we better improve on that particular front. Program 3, which I said is a program through which we are building policies and legislation relating to our provision of social security. And in line with what the NDP demands of us in terms of establishing a comprehensive social security system that is not only affordable, but to make sure that it's inclusive, it's sustainable, and also appropriate for all South Africans, we were able to develop quite a number of pieces of work that will contribute towards that comprehensive social security system. And in this one, we were able to develop a discussion paper on the review of the SASA, and that was done appropriately. Secondly, we're able to draft regulations on Social Assistance Amendment Act, and this was done. Also, finally, we're able to develop a draft policy on the universalization of the child support grant. And I said this speaks to or contributes towards that comprehensive, creating that comprehensive social security system, which is in line with the National Development Plan. I'm now moving to the fourth program, which is on welfare services. There's quite a number, as I understand, is one of our biggest programs. There's quite a number of targets that we had. But fundamentally, what we wanted to achieve in the previous financial year, so that we're able as a social development sector to reposition ourselves, towards achieving the development agenda was for us to having finalized that white paper on social development. And we need to admit that there's been work and this has not been completed. There are further consultations that are being conducted, and this is a result of the minister and the MEC meeting, which is MINMEC, which directed us to go for further consultation. And we are taking this work very serious, and we saw that it could be completed within the current financial year, which is 1920. One of the pillars, of course, within the welfare is the development of professional services, where we had, as a department, developed the supply and demand model for social service professionals. And this has been developed, the implementation plan has been developed, and it assists us to determine the future needs of the sector and the number of social service professionals that are required so that they are able to respond to some of the social ills that are there and the demands that they come as a result of them. On the bill, that we had to submit on social service practitioners draft bill, this has been done, has been supported by FOSAT for us to submit to cabinet for it to approve, and this will be done hopefully in the current financial year. We, in the period under review, continue to monitor the implementation of the recruitment and retention strategy, which we've always held, and this work is there to minimize and respond to labor unrest, especially those we experience within our sector as a social sector. On all the person, the service that we provided, in the previous financial year, in October, we hosted, the Free State Provinces hosted the National Older Persons Parliament. But in addition to that, this is an exercise that happens in October, the last week, and there are various programs that take place within that time, which includes the capacity building program. We are able to have a South African Older Persons Forum. We, older persons as well, have their own AGM, and we have a choir festival, and also they participate in various sporting codes, and we call that the Golden Games. And not only that we're able to do with regard to services, continue to provide various services to other persons that include us assisting with the evaluation of the Older Persons Act and other services that we continue to provide through our provinces and the NGOs. On early childhood development, one of the focus areas for us in the previous financial year was to continue to strengthen the structures that are existing. One is about the Inter-Ministerial Committee, the IMC, the National Independent, National Interdepartmental Committee, as well as the Intersectoral Forum, which are the three four structures that are existing to oversee the implementation of the 13 goals that are within the ECD Act. So this is what part of the work that we're doing, but in addition to that, work regarding the migration of ECD to DPE as well continued, and we'll report on progress regarding that when time permits. On services to children as well, those that are vulnerable, what we're able to do as a department, we're able to lead the development of the fourth National Plan of Action on Children. And this is the work that we're able to do because it's one of the good work because it brings together the government commitment relating to children's rights into a coherent whole, and through which an outcome-based approach and comprehensive regulatory framework ensures delivery against the commitments in an aggressive manner. So this will be presented, as I said, this work will be presented in the current financial year 2019-20 to cabinet for it to approve it. We could not in the previous financial year have cabinet approving the child care and protection policy which we intended to submit. This is as a result of the cabinet committee made some comments, and we are hoping to have this tabled yesterday in the cabinet committee, but it's been shifted. We could not make the cut of time, and this work will continue to do it so that by the current financial year it's able to be approved but it has been presented on the social protection cluster, and they approved that it goes to cabinet committee, and cabinet committee said we must put some comments, we have to return to it, and I'm sure we'll be able to complete this work in the current financial year. On the Children's Amendment Bill, this was submitted to cabinet, and the approval was granted for the bill to be submitted to parliament, and this bill will be considered in the current financial year, which is 2019-2020. We had also committed ourselves in the 18-19 financial year, the one that I'm presenting, for us to continue to implement the guidelines of community-based prevention and early intervention services for vulnerable children. And we're able to do this through the consultations that we held with the provincial departments. We're able to solicit some consensus on the priorities of the program. We're able to incorporate lessons learned on the implementation. We're able to map out the beneficiaries and services points so that we're able to expand these services to identify capacity needs and able implementation of quality services. On services to families, as one of the interventions, we had planned to build capacity of all the 9 provinces, especially on active parenting, on active teenage parenting program, and this was done in all the provinces. On social crime prevention, which also includes the areas that the chairperson highlighted on gender-based violence, I think our response has been fairly well in regards to this, except the fact that we, number one, we're able to have one achievement in terms which is notable, that we're able to have the approval of the policy framework on accreditation of diversion services by cabinet. This was done. Secondly, we're able as a department to undertake roadshows to capacitate provinces on the approved policy by cabinet. But however, we need to note that on the program of action, which we had wanted the cabinet to approve, the program of action on gender-based violence, this has not been completed because we are still, by the end of the reporting period, by end of March, we had not completed in terms of making sure that we incorporate all the outcomes that came from the presidential summit on gender-based violence as well as femicide. So that work still continues. However, the department does not mean we did not provide any other services in response to gender-based violence. One of them has been for us to, through our gender-based violence command center that we have, we are able to respond quite a number of calls. In the previous financial year, we received over 120,000 calls, and there are also please call me services that you received as well, and we're able to respond to some of those. And so it's a program of action space that we did not complete by end of the financial year as we had planned at the beginning, but work is in progress. We also, the draft on the anti-substance abuse policy was consulted with the JCPS and the social protection, and for it to be submitted to cabinet, and this work will be completed in current financial year, and the bill has been consulted with various stakeholders that work within the space of substance abuse, and would, as we had committed ourselves, complete it and submit to cabinet for approval in the current financial year. Also, the National Drug Master Plan, which we had not concluded, this was presented at the economic cluster departments as well as the social protection, and the recommendation has always been to say let's go back for further consultation, and the plan is for us to have this approved and submitted to cabinet for it to consider for review. But it's been presented in various platforms, including the MINMEC as well as in other provinces that we've presented. On HIV and AIDS services that we provide, as a department, we implement the social and behavior change programs, which are aimed at reducing the risky sexual behaviors among young people, men, as well as women. So in partnership with SANEC, so in the previous financial year, we entered into partnership with SANEC, which is South African National AIDS Council. Through that partnership, we're able to have 15 NPOs appointed and assisting us to implement the sexual behavior change programs. And these include programs such as YOLO, which is You Only Live Once, Families Matter Program, the Main Campaigning Change, the Main Championing Change, Kimoja, as well as community-based capacity and, enhancement. And through this partnership that we had with the SANAC, we were able to further employ, facilitate the appointment of 595 social service professionals, which includes both the social workers as the social auxiliary workers. In addition, Chairperson and other members, we need to state that through this program, we were able also to have quite a number of traditional leaders that were trained, and this training was mainly on the rock leadership training, so that they are able to champion the HIV prevention interventions in their own communities as traditional leaders. And the target for us is to have 8,241 traditional leaders that are trained, and we are almost complete with that, and I'm sure we have kept that target, even including in the current financial year, and we'll report in terms of the progress regarding that. On rights of persons with disability, we did not do well in regards to this, because when this was presented to ESCO, we also, the ESCO of the department made recommendations that this policy needs to be revised before it's tabled to the MINMEC, and this also needs to go to the social class. So this is the work that is still in progress and we could not achieve in the previous financial year. Also, we also, finally, on the rights of persons with disabilities, we wanted to have one compliance report on the implementation of the white paper on rights of persons with rights of persons, and this work was not done because of delayed submission from departments, and it delayed then the cabinet approval process for compliance reports. And this work, as a result of the short time frames that were given to departments, you are still looking to it and how we report to it. And this work, as you note, because of the transfer of that function, it will now be reported under the other department of women, where disability function has moved towards. Coming to the last program before I hand over to my colleague, the CFO, is on community development. On EPWP and services that we are trying to respond towards issues of unemployment, we wanted to develop the phase four of the social sector plan through EPWP, and this indeed was done in the period under review, which is the previous financial year. On population and development, we were able to continue to facilitate, monitor, and build capacity for the implementation. As you understand, we are, through this unit, the custodian of the population policy in the department. On NPOs, one of the areas where we had not been able to meet our target is on the NPO Amendment Bill, which you have to submit to cabinet. However, it does not mean that because that bill does not exist, then we did not provide essential or needed services to our non-profit organizations. We continue to train them. We continue to register them. By end of the previous financial year, there were over 220,000 NPOs that are within our database. We'd reached over 3,500 of them in terms of capacity building programs. We continue to implement our NPO roadshows. We continue to provide the support so that they are able to comply with the NPO Act. On social mobilization, as a department, we continued to facilitate the implementation of community development practice policy, and this has been done where the community development practitioners of about almost 500 in all provinces were able to be capacitated and trained on community mobilization empowerment guidelines. And on youth, we as a department continue to provide and made efforts in developing and facilitating the implementation of the youth development as well as empowerment program. We've got youth camps that we have started, and these are platforms from which as a department and together with our development partners or social partners, we empower young people on youth development issues such as positive values, exposing these young people to preventive programs against social ills, and we also try to provide platform for them so that they are exposed to opportunities for growth, including entrepreneurship, development, and so forth. And these skills, we want to make sure that these young people are imparted with appropriate skills, they become employable, and we enhance as well their livelihood capacities. And also, we also want to contribute towards poverty alleviation, sustainable livelihood, and food security through cooperatives. Our target was for us to link 1,000 cooperatives, which we wanted to link to economic opportunities. This, we could not meet this target, and we underachieved in this area, and it's mainly on the fact that the National Treasury then reclassified in the period under review the Circular 21, and this grossly affected the performance of cooperatives, as this review measured that the funding model and requires that they participate under the goods and services, and it means they have to comply with all and to be acquainted with all the SCM processes, and we are working very close with NDA for them to provide capacity on these SCM practices so that they are able to comply with them. And we are, as well as department, will be making efforts towards building capacity so that they are able to be acquainted with this. On the issues of food, where we provide food to through our community and nutrition development centers. The target was overachieved, as you will see, because of many other issues as a result to issues of unemployment and so forth. We were able to provide over 1 million vulnerable individuals, making sure that they are able to access food and nutritious food through the community and nutrition development centers. Thank you, Chairperson, and through you, I'll hand over then to my colleague, the CFO, to take us through our expenditure as a social development.
Okay. Talkman is here, bro. Where is it?
We spend it, Chairperson. 99.8% Chairperson was spent for the 18-19 financial year. That equates to 172.5 billion of slide 55. Okay, I'm speaking into the mic. Next slide. With regards to the program expenditure, Chairperson, on program one, we've spent 92.25% and underspend of 30.3 million. On social assistance, we spend 99.91%, underspend 150.8 million. Program 3, we spend 99.54%, 36.4 million underspend. Welfare services program 4, 98.8.
Sorry, can I request that if that's the format the presentation is going to take, allow us to look for ourselves, we'll ask questions.
Okay.
Because if you're just reading what is there, say, program one, appropriated, spend that, as written there. We thought there's a short narrative. If there's no short narrative, we'll ask questions. Just be ready for questions. Yeah.
Okay. Can we then go to...
Microphone for the minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. I appreciate and I understand that, but I think it would be important for him to just point out to where the challenges were and are, because it enables the members to follow that trail. Just the highlights.
In that, this is the Chairperson's mic. Uh,
Thanks, Minister. I think what the Minister says, sir, do you get a point? I repeat, if you are to read what is those figures as they are and sit down, it doesn't help us. We can just read for ourselves and ask questions. But if there's a narrative you want to share with us on the financial changes there, then you are helping us. Can you go back and do it in that fashion? Otherwise, we'll just ask questions.
Chairperson, the narrative follows on the next slide. Let's go to the next slide.
Okay, proceed. Yeah.
That's where the narrative says. So in terms of program one, the underspend mainly with regards to payment not made to CETA for turnkey solution. So that's where we have an underspend. In program two, there's mainly grants underspending, Chairperson, and mainly around foster care and disability.
No, proceed, sir. Proceed. We are fine.
In program three, Chairperson, that's mainly operationalization of the inspectorate. So the inspectorate didn't come in full operations, and therefore we had an underspend for the inspectorate. And then also with regards to the appeals. So we received less appeals because within SASA they're still dealing with appeals within SASA also, and therefore we had less appeals, and therefore the underspend in program three. In program four, mainly Chairperson was transfers. One was transfers to NPOs, and there was with regard to compliance with the Section 21, and then also with regards to savings, whereby we had community engagements and we had less participants in those community engagements. Program five. So this is it in terms of the economic classification, then, Chairperson, where you can see in the non-profit organizations and under households, that's the issues with regards to underspending the grants, mainly. That's what I just mentioned now.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Yeah.
Minister, I must leave my minister alone. Do you want you? Not yet. Okay. I wanted you to listen, Minister, when I'm sharing this. I think going forward in the sixth administration, we need to work differently. The manner, sir, you have presented does not present an organic finance department. Let me use the word. Organic finance department. Let me explain what I mean by this. Somewhere I was in MEC for sports, arts and culture. This is what I used to tell HR and finance. We adopted a slogan, those who used to drive M2 East, MNET slogan, it says you haven't got it till you get it. We stole that slogan and put it differently in the department, and we say it hasn't happened till it has happened. So what we expected when we meet with HR, we didn't expect HR to tell us 20 people appointed, 20 fired, leave system in place. We're not interested in that. We wanted an organic HR. What do we mean by that? That time in sports, arts and culture, there were three issues that were critical. Promotion of library services, promoting arts and culture, promoting sport. If you come as an HR, we wanted you to ask, to tell us this. Now that the department is about these three things, tell us what is your contribution. So we wanted HR, Honorable Sugar, to come and say, in sport, for instance, we're struggling in terms of excellence. We discovered as HR that there's a shortage of the following skills. And we made an intervention, and this is how now the unit in skills, in excellence is performing. Because of HR, what to call,
intervention. In other words, HR talked to the situation and the performance of sport. Same thing with finance. Tell us, how does finance help us to promote these things? Finance will come and say, the literacy in Soweto section so-and-so is like this. And when we analyzed as finance, we discovered that the financial implication, what can be tracked to financial problems in this literacy is ABC. This is how we intervened. As a result, the literacy has gone up. We wanted finance to talk to the situation in society. We wanted HR to talk to the situation in society, because there is no department which is there for the sake of being there. So I'm saying, let's not do it today, but we want organic auxiliary units. And I can tell you, once auxiliary units operate like that, their relationship with line function improve. I can tell you now. In that short space, Minister, when I was in Treasury, this is what we're saying to Treasury guys. So the department are difficult. I said, no. You are known for going to departments and tell them, why are you not going to give them money? They're wasting money. You're not going to give them money. But if you go to a department in arts and culture and say, we know this department is about sorting out ABC in society, and we agree this is what should be done. But however, as treasurer, we can assist. Now you talk with the department on its objectives, and that it improves the relationship between the line functions and auxiliary functions. Because line functions adopt an organic attitude, not a mechanical attitude. It's going to help you going forward. You are working with a minister who wants to do things differently. This is another different way of doing things. I'm as honest with you. I'm critical on this. We don't want finance to read us those figures that are there in the manner they are, because a lot of people can read here. Right? There must be a reason why it's you who is presenting. Otherwise, we'd have asked Tabani to present it. Because if it's going to be read like that, anyone else would just read it. The reason it's presented by a finance person is because a finance person makes us understand what we don't understand as non-finance people. Otherwise, if it's presented like that, Taban would have just read it and completed the presentation. Makes no difference. And I'm being harsh constructively, because I know that quality is in you, that capability is in you. We want you to stretch it for organic purposes. Sasa?
I'm here, Chair.
Yeah, forgot it. Yeah. Sasa?
Good morning,
Chair. We don't
Chair.
Want HR. Be part of the... Dirty your hands. Sasa? How are you dirtying your hands?
I'm dirtying my hands, Chair, by indicating that...
Okay.
The presentation of this annual report comes at a time when we, in the past few days, have, after not having had challenges with media, have had a number of challenges. And these challenges have come as a result of, one, the fact that in January this year we had a number of fraudulent transactions that were happening at SAPO as a result of the contract that we have with SAPO, and us together with the Reserve Bank then agreed, and this is what happened in January, then agreed that we needed to do a forensic audit so that we could understand as to where did these challenges come from. Investigation was done by Fogenix, a risk investigation organization, and they found a number of challenges and made a number of recommendations in terms of what it is that we needed to do to make sure that we stem the tide on the card fraud that was taking place at the time. So Fogenix has given specific indications in terms of what needs to be done, and SAPO is currently busy dealing with those challenges.
The other key challenge that we have is the issue of...
Honorable Masang.
I'm just making a high-level introduction, ma'am. Sorry, I suppose...
When the minister was doing opening remarks, she did it across the board.
Okay.
You see, there's one thing that is consistent about this minister. I said a single portfolio. Go straight up to Felek on it all.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much, okay. Chair. I will then ask
No, there's a presentation. Here is it.
Yeah, I will
don't
then...
Don't you have the report of SASA? The SASA report, you don't have it. I have a SASA report. Is there a presentation like this? Oh, you don't have.
We'll circulate the presentation. We thought it had been circulated.
Wait. Let me check. No. Let me check something quickly so that we're with the members. But don't people have this copy? Because what is there is here. Oh, then there is a problem. No, it's not the department which is responsible for that. It's us on the table. No, it's not you, CEO. It's not your problem. I must only appropriate problems where they belong. We must move the relevant people. It is my table that didn't do that. We accept the responsibility. Can we have 5 minutes or 3 minutes break so that that is done? It means we start at 22. It's 11:37 now. Let's start at 11:40. Present into his lap. Come on, present into the coil up.
CEO is 22. Let's proceed.
Thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, maybe let me just do this. I hope everyone is listening. Let me do this. What created confusion, that's my suspicion, is that you mentioned something which is in the public view, which format we don't have for the purpose of today. And when you don't have it here, and my attitude is that if it's not on the table, it's not on the table. We'd rather find a different process of dealing with it. Are we okay?
Appreciate
just present it. This. If the question comes around, we'll have to discuss the process.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Chair. I'll hand over to Ms. Ramaphosa to present the presentation.
You want to say something, ma'am? Is what? Now, but we said 22. I follow the time, not where people are. Proceed.
Thanks, Chairperson, and thanks, members of the committee. As we do the presentation, what we did was to reflect on some of the objectives, particularly the key objectives, on what was our commitment at the beginning of the MTSF and how far we have progressed in line with those objectives after the five-year period. The purpose of this presentation is to give SASSA's performance against its set of objectives, the budget and expenditure, and just to give a quick reflection on the audit outcomes for SASSA. I'll quickly jump this slide, which just gives an overview of what we are and how we are being financed and how we are wired, and go straight to what was our priorities when we started the MTSF period. One, our first priority was that we wanted to reduce income poverty by providing social assistance to eligible South Africans. We wanted to ensure that in doing our job, we improve the way we provide services to our clients. We also wanted to address the issues of the challenges with our internal efficiencies, and we also wanted to ensure that key business processes are automated in order to improve the way we deliver services to the citizens. And our last and final objective was to institutionalize the social grants payment within the SASSA system. And the programs that we have been wired into is that we have two programs, one being administration and the second one being the benefits administration and support. The administration deals with the broader support functions and the second one deals with the core business. So in terms of our report, I will align it to the objectives that we have set ourselves when we started the MTSF period. And the first one was being the fact that we want to improve the organizational efficiency, and this relates partly or more to the issues around the program one. Where we started as an organization, we have moved from a situation where our performance was sitting at 44%, and today we've managed to improve to 74%, although the target that we had set ourselves was 75%. We've also moved to from a situation where from 2013 we've been getting unqualified audit opinions, and then in 2015 we regressed, we got a qualification, and in 2018-19 we came back to get an unqualified audit, and we hope that with progress we should get to a state where we can come back and do a clean audit.
I think this just summarizes in terms of the number of targets. We have 39 planned targets, and out of the 39 planned targets, 29 were fully achieved, and 68% was under the support services. And in terms of the core services, where we provide services to directly to beneficiaries, our performance was at 82%. On improvement of organizational efficiency as our outcome, one of the major things that we needed to do, or that objective that we have set for ourselves, was that we really wanted to work hard on upholding good governance within the organization. Part of it was to deal with the issues of fraud and fraud prevention. In during this particular years, or during this period, we intensified the program, the awareness programs on fraud and theft and corruption, and this led to the reduction in the number of reported cases. We moved from a situation where annually we would get more than 3,000 reported theft and fraud and theft corruption to 662 in 2018-19. And out of the cases that we received in the last financial year, 70 were referred to law enforcement agencies, and this 70, 50 of them involved SASSA officials, and one was a former SASSA official, and the other ones was officials from the Department of Public Works, and most of them are still being investigated, except that the six are already is going through the court process. In addition to that, is that during the financial year, as we were getting to work with SAPO, we started to get reported cases from the SAPO side, which are not registered in SASSA's books, but they involved the work that we do. During the period from August until March 2019, there were 466 fraud cases that were reported within the SAPO environment, but we feel that we needed to be accountable for them because some were reported even within SASSA, and during this period, our work was to ensure that beneficiaries are reimbursed where we found that the government was at fault. In terms of the internal audit reviews, 30 internal audit reviews were conducted, and this was focusing on key risk areas. And what has happened is that following the investigations and the feedback from the internal audit unit, we started to see some significant improvement in the areas that were investigated, particularly on the SRD, the performance information, and the annual performance information. And some of this progress is reflected in the annual financial statements in 2018-2019. In terms of the risk register, one of the major risks for SASSA that we identified in the previous financial year was whether we'll be able to move from the court-managed process to a situation where we move out of CPS. And because of we constantly managed this risk and monitored it, we were able to sufficiently or successfully move out of the CPS environment. Our objective on human resource management was to ensure that the staff that we have is capacitated for optimum service delivery. And in order to ensure that, we had to put brakes on our systems. Therefore, a moratorium was implemented so that we can really, as we change the way we do things, we ensure that the people that we have are able to implement in the areas. So you'll see that instead of 95% in terms of filling of funded vacant posts, we only achieved 92%. And the major impact was on at head office, because at the points of service delivery, we ensured that the moratorium was uplifted and we deal with issues so that it doesn't really significantly impact on service delivery. But at management, we really had to realign the way we are wired in order to improve. This was linked to the review of the HR plan and the capacity model and organizational review. Over the years as an organization, there has been constant reflection, even from the audit outcomes, that we've been weak in terms of consequence management. So we've really had to monitor this closely and look at our interventions. And we looked at some of the labor relation cases that we had to track. We had targeted to deal with 40% of the labor relation cases, and we've managed to successfully deal with the 68% of the labor relation cases. And some of the outcomes of the processes that we implemented is that we've been able to get most of them through a formal process, and some of the officials were suspended, and some were dismissed, and some were given warnings in different forms. In addition to that, we have had to deal with financial misconduct cases, and our financial misconduct cases were grouped into two groups. One was the issues that there were new financial misconducts, but we had historical big register of financial misconduct cases that we needed to clear. Of those, we investigated all the cases, and they were condoned within SASSA, and later on we established that those had to go through National Treasury. Hence, these were not finalized, and the CFO will clarify this matter when we reflect on the financials. We've also had the objective to improve the conditions under which we serve the beneficiaries. And one of the things is that SASSA has a big footprint across the country, which includes offices and also records management centers, which we are renting. And some of them, the conditions were appalling, and they were not in such a way that you could really serve beneficiaries. So in order to improve this, one of the things that we have had to do is to review our infrastructure plan. And in our review of the infrastructure plan was to look at what are the areas where we have shortages of suitable accommodation. We have also worked on the upgrading and the repairs that were required, and also acquisition of new buildings. And part of it that we have to look at is that since we have had challenges through public works, we have also explored the possibility of SASSA starting to build areas where we don't have buildings so that we can have good offices or proper offices to serve the beneficiaries. We started the project of moving into proper records management centers because previously, during audit processes, it was difficult to retrieve some of the documents, and we have completed the records management centers in terms of ensuring that across all the provinces, now we have proper record management centers. The last one was the Eastern Cape, which we finalized in the previous financial year. On, in terms of financial management, we have been working on improving our financial management systems. In the 2017-18, we continue to have a qualification, but as we move into this current financial year, we have started to implement the audit action plan, and in through the implementation, we are starting to see positive outcomes. On paying eligible suppliers, we've managed to pay 99.9%. Our target was 100, so we just missed it with three service providers that were not paid on time. And then in terms of one of our major hassles was the debt book, we've managed to achieve our objective in the sense that 22.5% of our debt was either written off or it was recovered. Another objective that we set ourselves at the beginning of the OTF was the automation of business processes. In the automation of business processes, we had the objective, one of the major objectives that we had was that if we are going to institutionalize payments, what are the electronic systems that we need in order to enhance that? So one, we have had to enhance the SOCPEN system to allow us to pay directly as SASSA to deal with all electronic payments. We have also had to take over the issue of Regulation 26A was previously implemented by CPS or previously other service providers before CPS. So we have had to change our internal systems to make sure that SASSA now is able to effect Regulation 26A deductions, which are general deductions as mandated in the regulations. We've also managed to develop interface with SAPO so that there's proper secure information flow between SASSA and SAPO. We've also included the module to ensure the biometric verification within the SOCPEN environment. On issues of accountability, we wanted to improve accountability within the organization, and therefore we had to implement systems that facilitate accountability. Part of it was to develop a data warehouse through which we'll be able to generate automatic response at a quicker rate. We've also had to deal with the digitization of the paperwork, which is a process that we have now rolled out across the country, and we are dealing with the backlog. From there, we'll be introducing it in all the local offices, so it's such that in future, we don't have to deal with a lot of paper, or because we've got more than 50 million records that we are keeping in our records management centers, which make it difficult when we have to do account, when we have to account. On the biometrics, we have had to introduce biometrics in order to deal with issues of reduction of fraud across the organization. And we have introduced it in two major ways. One was the biometrics for beneficiaries. Two was the biometrics verification for staff that authenticate or process the application process across the organization. System-wise, we have been able to do everything that was needed. However, we have had to suspend the implementation of this system because of the labor dispute within the organization. But the system was completely developed and rolled out and piloted, and staff were trained on that. On the objective of reducing income poverty for South Africans who are not able to support for themselves, I think DSD has already alluded to some of the achievements in this area. But what I would indicate is that across the, in terms of this objective, we have been able to ensure that those qualifying beneficiaries consistently are paid on time and in the right system or through the right mechanism. So all the 17.8 million we were able to pay them. The other thing that we wanted to reflect is that we haven't had a tremendous growth in terms of the new people who are joining the system. The growth was consistent with the population growth in the country, except for one category, which was the for children between 0 and 1, where we have been performing dismally, and research has shown that we've been excluding those children. In that area, we've been able to put targeted effort to improve, and we move from 39% to 54% achievement. This slide just shows the growth that we have made over 5 years to indicate that the growth has not been major, just consistent with the normal population growth. On the SRD, one of the major objectives that we set for ourselves, other than providing SRD, we decided that we would make a concerted effort to ensure that whatever we do, we start to empower the cooperatives and the small business. And as such, we set 30% of our budget for SRD that we dedicated to using it through the cooperatives. And in terms of achievement, we've been able to achieve 26.8%, which is 110 million that was utilized through the cooperatives in order to support the beneficiaries who were receiving undue hardships. And the major areas that where we have been able to use cooperatives and small businesses were in the areas of food parcels that related to vegetables, and also in the areas of school uniform. I've already spoken to the take-up rates for children under the age of 1, so I think we can move on this one. We've also decided that we needed to include to reduce the inclusion errors. And on the inclusion errors, in order to ensure that people that get in, you verify that you have the right people, that's when we introduce the biometrics. And as I indicated on the system issue, we were successful in introducing the biometrics, but the implementation thereof was suspended because of the labor disputes. And there seemed to be a correlation between when we suspended the biometrics and when we started to see the increase in the fraudulent cases that emerged from both the SAPO environment and the banking era. So we're starting to work on that to see that the introduction of the biometrics was a positive step in terms of reducing fraud. We've also had done the foster care reviews, and we've managed to successfully review the 131,341 foster cares and to ensure that they remain within the system. On service delivery improvement, our major objective here was to ensure that the qualifying beneficiaries are served with dignity and they don't spend a lot of time waiting for the outcomes. What happened is that we have significantly been able to reduce the turnaround times. We have also been able to reduce the time the beneficiary spends in a SASSA office by reducing the processes, the application processes, and eliminating unwanted processes in the process. So thereby, we eliminated duplicated processes. So the time that the beneficiary spends in the SASSA office has been drastically reduced. We have also ensured that where we don't have footprint, we consistently took services to beneficiaries through the ICROP or Integrated Community Outreach Program. And in this regard, there were 317 wards that we have been able to visit to ensure that because the people needed additional services, those people are serviced. On the engagements with beneficiaries, we have had 1,373 community engagements, and through these engagements, we have been able to successfully do the card swap, particularly in areas where beneficiaries were not responding to the calls for card swap. When we intensify the community engagement through the different media, including going to churches to monitor, to start to motivate people to come, then we were able to meet the time frames. We have also been able to tell people about the benefits of electronic payments. And by telling people about the benefits of electronic payments and going to other options that were available, we said the result is that today 95% of our beneficiaries are choosing to withdraw money at the available NPS infrastructure across the country. So very few still go to SAPO outlets or to the cash pay bonds because now they have explored. Even those who go to SAPO outlets and the cash payments, on certain months they choose to go to either to ATMs or to retail merchants because now they understand the flexibility that the card, that the new system has given. On the institutionalization of social grants payments, our objective was that initially when we started the five-year period was to ensure that SASSA takes over the full payment management and control of the payment. And in taking over the full management and control, we understood that there are certain risk processes that we did not want to institutionalize, processes such as transportation of money, because that is a risk that you can transfer to the experts who have the expertise to manage. Expertise such as being a bank. Since SASSA was not a bank, it's not a defined bank, so we felt that those elements we can allow those who have the capability to do, but what we wanted to ensure was that as an organization, we are able to manage and control all the key processes. And today I can comfortably tell you that all beneficiaries are paid by SASSA on the first of every month. We deposit the money into their accounts. And furthermore, the other areas in terms of the distribution is the additional services that we have contracted out. On the phasing out of CPS, as required, we have been successfully able to phase out CPS, and the regulation requires us to pay beneficiaries either through the banks of their choice or through the methods that has been determined by SASSA. 30% of our beneficiaries are paid through their own commercial banks, and the others are paid through SAPO, but
sorry,
SASSA.
Marapasa. Yeah. You are doing a unique, very good thing. You tell us progress that there was this problem, because of this, this problem is no longer there, something that has been missing. But the problem you are facing, you want to tell us the whole story of your behind the scenes. But the very impressive things you are saying, the certain people used to make this choice, because of this intervention, this is, in other words, what you are about. Mm. But I would request you to share a little with us on what is happening in the kitchen. Yeah. Proceed.
How it happens, Che?
No, what you... If I've disrupted you, let me allow you to present. Maybe we'll rectify it. Let's do this. Just do it the way you are doing it now. But I'll tell you at the end, what am I speaking about? Just forget that I spoke. Just do what you're doing. Proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll repeat. As we promised that we will insource the payment system, today I'm comfortably able to tell you that there's no beneficiary that is not paid by SASSA. SASSA is the one that deposits the money in all the accounts of the beneficiaries across the sector. Even those that are using the SAPO card, it's not SAPO that does the direct deposit. The direct deposits are done, implemented by SAPO. By SASSA, SAPO just becomes a distribution agent. It's like you having your private bank card or having a normal blue card. So the benefits, so what we negotiated was the benefits on the card
that's linked to SAPO. So SAPO does not do the payment. It just gives the administrators the sum of the benefits that we negotiated. Next. And part of our responsibility was to manage the services of the partners that we have. As I've already alluded to SAPO, in addition to SAPO, we've strengthened our relationship with the banks because our beneficiaries are paid through SAPO and the banks. So we have signed a memorandum of agreement with the banks through the BASA, and this allows us ongoing engagements so that we can know that all the 30% beneficiaries who are receiving their monies through the commercial accounts, their challenges and problems are addressed. And in doing that, we are able to get feedbacks from all the banks, like if there's any challenge on the first day of payment, they would be sending information and sharing with us to say there's technology challenge in this area or not because of the systems that we have now instituted. Move. On the payment on Regulation 26A, which I've already alluded to previously when I talked about automation, we have taken over the management of Regulation 26A, which are funeral deductions. This is the work that used to be done by CPS, and we have a database of 624,000. We had a database of 624,000 beneficiaries that were had requested that their funeral policies be deducted through the CPS system previously, and now they are done through SASA. The number has been reduced to 506,000 because we have gone to look at the exceptions where people were having multiple deductions. We have eliminated those. Where people were deducted by many insurers, we have also eliminated those in the management of the deductions. Next. I think we've already spoken about the management of the different service provider. We continue to manage the service providers as provided. One of the things that we had started when we started the five-year period was the recognition that when SASA was established in 2006, there was no NPS across the different areas in the country. But the national payment system infrastructure has developed. We have shopping complexes, we have ATMs, and therefore we had to review our pay point as a delivery mechanism. So we started with a situation of having about 10,000 pay points across the country. We took a decision that where there's an NPS infrastructure, we will eliminate the cash pay points. And this, we had set a target of 20%, but we have managed to reduce 73%. Of the pay points across the country. Today we have contracted with SAPO to service 1,740. And in terms of operations, only 1,600 are still active because in some pay points that we had, the beneficiaries have not been coming to those pay points despite them being contracted.
It's beautiful. All right, proceed.
Chairperson, the next slide just talks about the key factors that impacted on the organization. As we wrap up, is that we indicated that we had a moratorium. I spoke about the suspension of the biometrics because of the labor disputes. And I spoke about the reversal of the misconduct cases that were previously condoned, and also the issue of the SAPO agreement. These are the critical issues that impacted on SAPO service delivery in different areas of our work. I can give to the CFO to summarize the financial.
If he's going to say something different.
He is.
All right. CFO. She's confident you're going to say something to it.
Yes, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I hope that I'll be saying something different, just not to disappoint Mayor Rampoba, who had the confidence in me. I think what we need to reflect on for the purpose of the committee is primarily to say that SASA has spent 83% of its budget and has the 17% savings. And there are actually two main issues that probably I need to draw the attention of the committee in. And one has to do with the
Yeah. The one part of it is about the compensation of employees, which is the wage bill. It has been understood that one of the issues that government is struggling with had to do with the whole issue of the wage bill. And what we have done from SASA point of view was to deal with the moratorium to say that given that SASA has got about 10 years of existence, over 10 years, and we have not done really taking stock of where SASA is in terms of the capacity. And there have been a lot of changes in terms of the strategy. So we needed to make sure that going forward, the strategy that we implement actually is fully capacitated, and we have to really put on hold the filling of position with the moratorium as that a project that called the business reengineering, just to make sure that SASA is actually wired accordingly to give the service. And this project will be done probably this year and next year. So we did not necessarily spend all the money relating to the composition of employees. The second part in terms of the goods and services, you will have noticed that with the changes that we have made in terms of the collaboration with SAPO, you will have actually realized that's about 1 billion savings relating to the space, primarily with the changes of the model that we are currently introducing. Was at this particular point, we're looking at 3 platforms that we're using with SAPO, which is paying people via over-the-counter, paying people by taking money to where they are, and also paying people where they use the national payment infrastructure. And what we have noticed in the past year, which is 2018-19, is that many of the people are serviced currently with the national payment infrastructure. And because they preferred to go to the merchants, and also they have gone to the ATMs, 95% of those people, they were serviced primarily within that infrastructure. We have seen actually a significant saving within the fiscals, and that's a good positive way of actually dealing to say, under the economic situation, there must be efficiency in how we're servicing and providing actual the services within the agency. The last issue that I need probably to reflect on is that despite the fact that we have had these savings and a good savings around the handling fees, which is the fees that we pay to a contractor that provide the services to the payments, there is still a matter that we're dealing with CPS has to do with the 236 million, which relates to the period of 6 months, the period 1 April 2018 to the 30th of September 2018. We have not agreed finally on all the money that needed to be paid to CPS. CPS has given us invoices of 236 million, which we're distributing, and currently this process will be before the court, where they believe that we should align fully with what Treasury has recommended to the Constitutional Court by acceding to say, when they service people at the pay point, we must pay them 51 rand per beneficiary. And when they use their other biometric, which is the ATMs or merchants that utilize biometrics as an authentication, we must pay them 19.48. And SASA has disputed some of the elements in relation to that. And this is the matter that has not been resolved by the year end. And it will continue to be engaged during the 2019-20 just to resolve actually to say whether that amount is payable. And it may go and finally being adjudicated by the court. I think when we look in terms of the AG, already Madam Khuba has already spoken about it, but probably of importance here, you could see that for the year ended 31st March 2019, SASA closed actually the year with 1.2 billion of retained surplus. And we have received the unqualified audit opinion, but of significance is that for the performance information, there were no material adjustments that were found in terms of how we reported in terms of the performance information. Chair, I think that's a summary from my side. I hope I said something different.
Yes, yes, yes. Let me just indicate what we mean. You articulate the fiscal challenges of the country, and you articulate financial interventions. That's narrative. It's talking about how is SASA addressing that challenge. You are explaining it from the financial point of view. You are saying a model has been changed. Because a particular model has been changed, you have saved 1 billion. You explain how this model has been changed. It could only be explained by a finance person. See, this is what we mean by an organic auxiliary unit. We must ask, why should it be read by you, no one else? Now we understand why this one is supposed to be read by you, no one else. Right? And then two, as NDA is preparing, if you listen to Ms. Ramukhupa, am I right?
Yes.
With the except of the lot of things said, there was consistency. Every time she explains her intervention, there's a change she wanted to see. She will say, we did ABC, as a result, this problem is no longer there. She points it and puts her finger, consistently from the beginning to the end. And you understand, DG, what we're crying about. We are not here as politicians to deal with your interventions. I was saying, Honorable Masa, when a politician goes to Khayelitsha, and Khayelitsha people say, what is social development doing for us? You're not going to say to them, there's a discussion paper. I'm not interested in that. It says, what is it? So there's an information system. So what? Politicians don't go and explain such things. We want, this is where DSD minister is totally failing. We hope 6 administrations will change it. Even the presentation doesn't make any difference. We want to know, why must we have DSD? What are you responding to in society? SASA has explained what are they responding to in society and how are they changing it. Anyway, members will ask, I'm trying to explain what we mean by what we mean. Can't just sit here, all program one, program two, program three, policy, paper, discussion, we had meeting, strategic document, this paper has been finished. Whatever. No. Why are you doing all these things? And in Khayelitsha, they're not going to listen to that. They're not interested in it. So go ahead, you do your discussion paper. We don't want it here. Right.
No, the minister
will have to. NDA, sorry for coming after SASA. You will have to keep the standard. Mamdam, we are in your hands.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members. If I may, Chairperson, request the Minister to introduce the representative for our Board Chairperson in terms of good governance. The Board Chairperson...
Introduce yourself. The Minister agrees that you can introduce.
Okay. Good. Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members and Minister. I'm here to represent the Chairperson of the Board, the bishop who couldn't make it today. I'm a board member of the National Development Agency, and I just want to express my support for the presentation that will follow. I also want to acknowledge the participation of the minister in our recent strategic workshop and indicate that we'll be meeting her next week, and she's working well with us to try to deal with the challenges we may face. I hereby introduce the CEO, Mamzobe. Tamo Mzobe, who is the CEO of the NDA, who will be doing the presentation. It is our understanding that the presentation has gone through all the formalities and oversight the board would need to do. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Mamzobe, how much time are you going to use?
Short time, Chairperson.
Short?
10, 15 minutes.
Ah, you are so lovely. You will always come and present here. All right, proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. We are here today to come and present a report for financial year 2018-19 in terms of program information and financial statement, annual financial statements. Chairperson, you said we must hit straight to what our business is about.
Sorry, I'm being led here. Honorable Member Ngwenyi, you want to say something? Oh, Zobe, where is the observation? No, no, it's not there. It's us, okay? It's us. Here to Linda. Huh? Linda? Linda, why here to Linda? I hands up all those who don't have the presentation. So it was only Honorable Ngweny. It's fine. Let's proceed then. Proceed, Mamzo.
Chairperson, thank you. We wanted to highlight and remind the committee that our mandate is on these priorities, which is primary priority and the secondary mandate. However, we wanted to emphasize the gaps that we've had since the MTSF, within which during the last financial year, we wanted to impress emphasis on these issues that were mainly made to conduit funding from Republic of South Africa, the foreign governments and international. However, it's always been social development that has been compliant to that mandate as prescribed in the legislation. Only last financial year we got a transfer from Department of Labor for the first time in the history of NDA, that another department's transfer 142 million. And second one is to understand that we are contributing to the capacity building of a civil society organization. It's a broad mandate with the transfers and the dryness of the resources and the foreign investment and foreign donors. We are experiencing challenges to make an impact the way we want to. And lastly, what we wanted to elevate was the database that has been prescribed by the legislation, which in the past 17 years has never been complied to. Only last financial year, we started a process of securing a service provider to assist us to respond and to be compliant to this mandate by making sure that the country has a valid, a reputable database of civil society organization. Currently, as a country, we don't have a database of civil society organization, unlike the NPOs, where we have a database that is the custodian of that database of NPOs is Department of Social Development. That is our vision, to see the South Africa, which has a society free from poverty. Let's go. In terms of our performance, we have three programs. We have program one, which is mainly governance. We have program two, which is civil society organization development. Then we have program three, which speaks to the research and development. Around program one, we had sought to make sure that our human resource management development strategy was approved and was compliant to deliver in terms of human capital to the magnitude of the programs that had to do with capacity building. On that one, the strategy in terms of consultation processes in all level, including our stakeholders, we succeeded in doing that because we're expanding to decentralize to provinces, so we had to ensure that the team that we have are capacitated to face up and take on to the decentralization model that we're instituting. However, due to the gap in terms of the lapse period of the then board, we couldn't get the processes through for the final approval by the board. Safe to say, in terms of governance, we had a board that was appointed 3 years ago on the 4th of April 2016, and the term came to an end last year, which is 6th of April, January 2019. However, this challenge brought a lot of other unintended implications in terms of approval of processes, approval of policies, approval of a lot of other issues that warranted the oversight body in terms of accounting authority to assist us. In terms of integrated system, this is the system that we had wanted to procure the services of, to ensure that we begin the process of complying with the legislation to facilitate the implementation of the active database. So it was facilitated. However, due to the programs, the processes that were entailed and detailed, since it was the first database that we needed to model, We couldn't get them approved during the third quarter. However, during the fourth quarter, we did not have an accounting authority to approve the processes. So only the service provider was appointed, but we are now we're at the process of piloting and in terms of checking if the personnel are able to utilize the system at its initial stage. The number three talks to the compliance to legislation, legislative framework. We had targeted 100% to comply at all given legislation that mandates us to do our work in civil society organization space. However, we could not afford to deliver entirely on this one, mainly on the on the basis of that void that we had on the term of the board, which most of the targets were targeted for the fourth quarter, where the board was not in place at that time. In program two, the civil society organization development, this is a program which we deliver on using our CSO development model, which was presented at the portfolio earlier. This program, we were targeting to have intervened in 8,500 civil society organizations. However, we are piggybacking on the program that was in place at that time, Project Mkonzo, and we only achieved 9,137. This achievement was mainly based on what the model was implemented upon in terms of the existing database, which is manual currently, and that of which Mkonzo was part of. However, in terms of maybe I needed to say at the beginning that our main challenge was to craft the target that was more talking more into qualitative impact than that of quantitative impact. How we discovered this challenge was during the audit, both internal and Auditor General, to say our technical descriptors were not sufficient enough to qualify all the process milestones within which we implement our model and within which we piggyback in our program, other programs of outreach. On this one, I want to highlight the issue of saying, if we go to those Project Mkonzo, the pending issue that was raised by internal Auditor General is to say, how did you go about, how did you invite those civil society to participate in the project, where their registers that indicate that indeed this civil society participated, whereas in our approach is diverse. Where we see opportunities, whether in public, whether in churches, we use that opportunity to engage and raise awareness on the programs that we have. The number of civil society that we assisted to formalize, we have relationships with diverse stakeholders in terms of authorities, your NPOs and cooperatives. These are the relationships that assist us to make sure that in terms of formalizing the structures, the establishment of your constitution and all that, according to what the mandate of the, if it's a CEDA, they will assist us in terms of small business approach in making those business proposals. So those were the targets that we had set for ourselves. However, we had short target of 37. Number of CSOs trained to come to comply with registration legislations. Our target there is to ensure that beyond just accessing resources and grants from government, when they are capacitated and they're compliant with registration legislation, they are able to explore some avenues from private donors who merely need them to be compliant and legislated. So those were the targets that we had in terms of our baseline, but that's a shortfall that we had in terms of achieving that target. Number of civil societies that are capacitated in terms of management of their the matters per year. On this one, we're mainly driven by the request that was coming from those which I've partnered with social development to do welfare programs and development programs. On those ones, what we discovered is that there were a lot of conflict within them as an organization. They couldn't manage their affairs, they couldn't do their bookkeeping. And so models and on training capacity that we provide sought to address those gaps that we had. And the confirmation in terms of their progress in achieving the compliance will interface and be feedback by the monitoring and evaluation in terms of Department of Social Development plus the cooperatives that are compliant with their legislation. Let's go, Ben. In terms of rand value, over and above the allocation that we get from government, that is through social development, we embark on other initiatives to ensure that we augment the budget because of the demand and ever-escalating requests of grants and interventions to the civil society organizations that we have capacitated. We've managed to partner with the Department of Labor on the UIF partnership here. We are targeting the UIF beneficiaries to say, once the UIF grant has, once their benefit on UIF has lapsed, we want them to have opportunities, whether by movements, whether by cooperatives or small business. We want to have empowered them to say, with the little money that they receive, they can turn around their life and make sure that becomes sustainable beyond what they will be receiving. So in that partnership, we partner with our service providers, the private sector, other NGOs that will give them skills. It's like an internship program. So we assist them mainly on cooperatives, mainly focusing on rural women, mainly focusing on youth from child-headed households that are going to beneficial. Why those from child-headed households? You find that the parent was contributing to UIF, but the parent is no more. So those kids need to benefit from what was invested by their parents through the program. Number of CSOs receiving grant. On this one, we did not reach our full term in terms of granting funds because of the cumbersome processes of assisting them to bring on to bring forth that on application, actually what is it that they do in communities, how are the communities that they serve once we grant them funding, how are they changing their lives. However, the challenge on that one was the 7% in disability that we had targeted, where we could not explain sufficiently in our technical descriptor indicators to say, is this the entire civil society organization which is supposed to be that of disability group? Or is it a civil society group with a representative of a disabled person within that? So the insufficiency and the reliability came about from that challenge. However, the third challenge on that one was that the first grant funding process took place during the second quarter, and the last one was supposed to have taken place during the last fourth quarter, whereas the board had ended in January, so we couldn't meet the target. The number of civil society referred to resource mobilization for sustainability, we had targeted that. However, this is the part where we feel that as much as we are referring them for sustainability opportunities, but it's difficult to measure the impact because it's more referrals on ad hoc basis. The discussion and the relationship we have as a portfolio is that how do we look at the legislation to allow us at least to contract them for 3 to 5 years so that out of our model program that we have capacitated them, the linking thereof, we can be able to assess and measure the impact after they've been referred. A number of partnership agreements established, we had wanted to have 23. However, we have realized that the finances, the resources, and the time invested in wanting to engage in the processes of establishing partnerships takes so much time, takes so much effort. At the end of the day, maybe doesn't yield to any resource being achieved out of those indulgence and engagements. That's why during this financial year, we've looked into the number of targets and we are looking into reducing them so that we have qualitative a partnership which are impactful, not just chasing the number for the sake of a compliant to quantitative target. The number of research report evaluations, we had targeted 23, we are at 23. But I must say on that one that even if we had achieved it, the challenge that was brought about by Auditor General was on the basis that most of the studies we do in partnership with the institutions of higher learning, like in this case in the ECD space where we're doing our work in research, longitudinal studies, we had partnered with University of Fort Hare in the Eastern Cape. However, the challenges that is brought about by AG is that we cannot use the institutions of higher learning as partners. We need to use them as a service provider. However, our legislation allows us to partner with that. So that's where we are now looking for the support of the National Treasury to guide us in terms of triple P's vis-a-vis partnership that we push forward to as mandated by legislation to have those fostered partnerships. Number of management publications produced here, we normally focus on the programs and projects that NDA has funded over a period of time so that for best practices we can produce some knowledge management publications for other organizations on a similar category to utilize so that they can see and reflect on the challenges and they can learn from other provinces what are the best practices that we have funded and they are sustainable. On the number of development policy dialogues, here we continue to deliver on dialogues. However, Chairperson, Honourable Members, we must say that we have not been pitched at the level of the country where our mandate compels us to deliver on dialogues and communication with communities that will be contributing to policy development at a country level. What we've been doing here, what is a very minimal scale due to resources and all that, but through the approach that has been introduced by the minister to say within us as a portfolio, what strength can we have from each other? That's when we will be partnering with the Department of Social Development Population Unit and the Department of, and SASA in terms of they have programs that talk to dialogue, they have programs that talk to consultation. How do we consolidate ourselves with portfolio approach in going to communities? And I will now hand over to CFO. I hope he will say something different. Then I would have read the numbers. Thank you, Chairperson.
Afternoon, Chair of the committee, committee members, the Honourable Minister and my colleagues from both the department and the NDA and SASA. I'll be presenting quickly what were the resources that were made available to the NDA for the financial year and how did we spend the resources that were allocated to us. I think the first slide is just a summary of the income statement which compares the current financial year that we're reporting 2018-19 and the previous financial year. So I'll just go to the next slide just that seeks to indicate where the challenges were and what were the how do we intend to address the challenges. The first slide, Chair and committee members, seeks to indicate what were the resources that we had at our disposal for the current financial year compared to the previous financial year. So if we look at the official allocation that the NDA receives from National Treasury through the Department of Social Development, we can see that it only increased by 0.8% in the current in the financial year 2018-2019, if we compare that with 2017-18. So there was actually no increase there if you compare that with what CPI was for that period under review, which was about an average of 4.9%. So if we look at the other sources of income, the second major source of income is the conditional grants. I think as the CEO has alluded to, because we don't have a lot of budget, we go and partner with other government departments and agencies to stretch the resources that we have so that we can benefit more with the resources. We can see that there was also a decrease. I think in the next slide, I'll be taking members through the next one as to what the reasons were for the reductions in those. I think firstly, we're saying there was a revenue of 225 versus 221 in the previous financial year. As I've indicated, the allocation, official allocation, only increased by 8% compared to the previous financial year. The second major source of income, which is the conditional grants, has reduced by 27% compared to the previous financial year. What were the reasons for? I think The CFO of the department did indicate that National Treasury introduced Circular 21. So how Circular 21 has affected the department is that it has affected their spending, the expenditure side. On the side of the NDA, it has affected the income, because in the past, provinces would transfer the funds to us and we will implement programs on their behalf. So the implementation of Circular 21 has brought challenges in terms of how the department can transfer those funds. So as partners, we are grappling with how best to address that so that we can augment the resources that are available to the NDA. The other source of income, which is the interest, declined by 53%, which is interest that we receive on bank accounts or the bank, the cash that is sitting in the bank. The next slide, Chair, it will indicate nothing. The first part indicated what were the resources available. The second slide now indicates how we have spent the resources that were available to us in the current financial year. The first column indicates what the actual expenditure is per program, what the budget allocated for each of the program was, and what is the budget utilization, that is what percentage of the budget we have utilized. If we look at program one, we've spent 95% of the budget that was allocated. I think we can see that the compensation of employees, I think throughout the programs, makes up a high percentage of the total budget that we are allocated. I think that runs across the three programs. If we look at program two, we spent 92% of the budget, and goods and services, we're sitting at 94%. Transfers to CSOs, which is the core business of the NDA in terms of program two, we've spent 59%, and I think the CEO has indicated that in the fourth quarter of the financial year, we did not have a board in place, and hence some projects that were ready for approval could not be approved in the fourth quarter of the financial year. The next program, which is program three, we spent 78% of the budget. Next slide. This is just a quick narrative of the expenditure by program. If we look at program one, we spent 94% of the allocation that was made available for program one. Okay, yes. Then just the slide before. Yeah. Okay, just program two. If we just quickly look at program two. Yeah, I think, Chair, I've already gone through, I think, the reasons for the areas of over and underspending, especially with relation to program two, which where there was a spending of only 59% in transfers to CSOs. In terms of program three, we spent 78% of the budget, and the reason for that is that there were three studies that were planned to be conducted in the year. Those studies were only finalized or awarded in the fourth quarter of the financial year. Those studies only started being conducted in the current financial year. Then there was a planned program that we needed to evaluate, the capacity building program. The department and both the NDA in the past 5 years has invested a lot of money in capacity building. The intention was to conduct an evaluation to say, has the money that has been spent on capacity building in the past few years made the required impact that it was? So the study did not materialize because the funding that was to be made available by the other partners could not be made available. The next slide, Chair, is just an indication of what the expenses were. The expenses were in terms of economic classification, which is the same as the previous slide. Then, Chair, the next slide is just the balance sheet that indicates the financial strength of the organization. What are the key areas in terms of the balance sheet? Ben, quickly, the next slide. The first slide just seeks to indicate what were the total debtors and resources in terms of cash and bank balances. We had bank balances of about 80 million. We had debtors
amounting to 9.5, and that is the breakdown of the receivables that were owed to us. The next slide, share in terms of the liabilities part of it. This is, I think, I just wanted to highlight this slide. This slide represents the resources that we have raised from other partners, which we are currently implementing in the current financial year. So these were the resources that were sitting in the balance sheet because we had not yet completed the implementation of the programs that the partners have provided us with funding to implement on their behalf. Next slide, Ben. Then the next slide shows just the cash flow, which indicates how the cash has been spent in the financial year 2018-2019, which is basically an indication of the balance sheet, but in terms of the utilization of the cash and the receipts. Oh. My apologies. Yes. I think in terms of the presentation on the financial performance, I think that's where we are.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Honorable Masako. No. I'm strict. I'm not strict. I'm strict. You see, I've got this attitude that at this level of management, we're doing things we're trained for. And we must do it in a manner consistent with that level. And I can tell you, as we move ahead, if we follow what SASSA has been doing, you will understand what we are trying to get from you guys. The point I'm making is that I just wanted the DG to listen carefully to this. DSD is the principal department. When you say single portfolio, everything is, it is a center, it is a pillar. So the core articulation of what the department is responding to must come clearly from DSD, so that the relevance of everyone else must make sense in line with the core articulation of DSD. When we got SASSA, SASSA must explain why do we need SASSA in the core articulation of DSD. When you've got NDA, NDA must explain why do we need them in the core articulation of DSD, so that everything is anchored there. So that's why it's critical that relevance matters. When I go with you, Honorable Sam, to Soweto, I don't want us to discuss discussion papers. No. Well, me and you, to say here in Soweto, the level of vulnerability of the poor, the states are like this, the level of vulnerability was like this, because of the intervention of social development, we can tell you now you are no longer where you were, you are here. People will understand that. Having said all that, my proposal, honorable members, we've got 12 minutes towards lunch. I would propose that let's start dealing with DSD. If we don't finish by one, we'll finish after lunch. Let's raise issues around DSD. Am I creating confusion? No, if I am, you know I'm democratic, I'm open. Well, I was looking on the approach, we agreed that the entire presentation will be done. When you come, we'll discuss each. Now, I say, let's go DSD now, until lunchtime, which is 1 o'clock. Honorable Secretary, Honorable going. If there's nothing, we'll go to SASA and NDA. Honorable Seke, Honorable Ngwenya, Honorable Abrams, going, gone. Honorable Masango. Honorable Seke, let's proceed. None. Honorable Secretary, if there's only one person speaking before lunch, there's no problem. But say everything that you want to say. If it's only one, those who are following will speak after lunch. But I'm saying, let's use this 10 minutes fruitfully. If it's one person speaking, I hope not. I hope not. So, anyone? Yes, Honorable Secretary.
Thank you. I firstly want to thank everyone that has presented here. Thank you for your presentation. And I want to also firstly thank the, secondly thank the minister. I know that in our engagements with the minister at the workshop, it was around how do we cascade the vision that the minister has and the strategies that was discussed in that workshop. How do we cascade that down to everyone in the different departments, which the minister has answered today to say that that has happened within the different departments. So for that, I just want to commend the minister. I will also just, Chair, want to say to Minister Lindiwe Zulu that one of the key things that really attracted, I know, us as a committee as we discuss is the vision that you hold for the department and the passion with which you came into this role has captivated all of us. And that is a key leadership strength. So I want to commend that as well. I think most of us here in the committee yesterday we were taken through the DSD annual report as it was presented to us by the Auditor General. And the picture that we have today is totally different to the picture that we were presented with yesterday. And it makes me think of financial management, they say the figures tell you what is under the skirt. And the strategy tells you what's on top, what's under the skirt. So it shows you. And I think that is actually the real picture that got me when I was listening today, is that we heard the positive outcomes, but the negativity that we left with the impression in terms of the audits as it was presented was only owned by the minister, really, today. The minister owned it. She said she knows what she is getting, and every single responsibility lies with that. That is my comment that I just want to make in terms of DSD. Again, in terms of the rest, the NDA we're not touching. I take a chair.
And opposite.
Are we? Okay. So it is just.
No, we're dealing with DSD. No temptation.
No temptation.
Not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Oh, thank you. No temptation.
Yes. this can only happen in South Africa.
We're saying, dear, don't be tempted to do anything else.
Yes. a few things where that is concerned. I'm posing the question to the minister. It would most likely the minister can refer it to the NDA. I sat in the Department of Basic Education yesterday. There are issues with the ACD program, serious challenges that are affecting the basic education to the tune of millions. And it's got to do with the ACD program in KZN in the Eastern Cape. What are the possibilities of addressing that problem in those communities through the NDA? Because there you have communities that does not want the department to proceed with the building of schools because they don't own the projects. And here we're sitting with the NDA that is able to deliver on that if they intervene and facilitate capacity programs within those areas. Then I also want to ask the minister, in terms of gender-based violence, the president has made a commitment in the special sitting of parliament, and one of the key issues that we are sitting with is the fact that vulnerable women do not have a place to escape to in our communities. And also that the second point of that is that where there are safe houses, those safe houses are known to people within the community, so there is no safety for women to escape to. These issues we have been highlighting as an emergency within communities, and we really, I heard the, I'm not sure who the gentleman now was, that mentioned that yes, we are attending to gender-based violence, but it will take a process. It is a critical matter that is right now in front of us, and we do not have safe places where we can take our women to, and the intervention programs that was mentioned by the president has not come through in this. But it can be, look, we're looking back, I know that. I know we're looking back on this. I'm touching on it because I just want to hear what the minister, in terms of GSD, what is going to come. Because this department is obviously key to addressing gender-based violence and with those programs that the president has committed to. And I thank you, sir.
Thank you. Maybe members too. No, you'll get it. Maybe members can resort this. Let's not be too mechanical. If, for instance, when you raise an issue on TSD, you will not complete it without saying something about NDA, feel free to do that. Otherwise, we're going to be too mechanical and compartmentalized. You might find that by the time we go to NTA, a lot of issues have already been dealt with in TSD and so on. Any other member? All right. No, the DG wants clarity.
Okay.
Can you clarify?
The subsidy.
ASIDR is the infrastructure program
with the building of schools. So, Chair,
if
I just leave mine and
no, you are done. No, you've said your piece on the GSD. Honorable Bungwenya.
Thank you, Chair.
No one is going to stop you, Honorable Bungwenya, because of lunch.
Thank
say whatever
you, Chair.
You want to say.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mamlindi siyabonga kakhulu for what you have, for your overview. You know what you said about what the gentleman said about not having leaders and having bosses. That really touched me, and I think a lot of us have to do some introspection in terms of that, because you came here and you inspired us with the issue of passion and all the things you were saying. And when you have a boss around you, there will not be any kind of passion except obsession on power and authority. So those are the things we need to look out for. On what my colleague said about what we're hearing today being very different from what we heard yesterday, I really concur with that. But I need to move and ask on the issue of
Okay, this is one thing that I just needed to let you know of, Mamlindwe, that in case you have missed Ngcela, we beg, Emma. When you visited Lusikisiki on your word-based model, there was a lady who was actually assaulted by a husband. He stabbed her, I think, 7 times, and it was not the first attack. And that gentleman was arrested and went to court for bail application, which was just R1,000, and he was let go. That happened in Lusikisiki. So if there's a way that you can look into that, I'll get you the names after, because I have the names and all of that. And that woman stays in that house with that man. So it's a very dangerous situation. Then I would also like to take us to slide 17, where...
DSD. Okay.
Yes. The prayer has worked for me, Chairperson. I will not go into the temptation at all. So don't worry about me. I am very receptive to prayer.
Unlike a socialist.
I won't answer it. Yeah, you threw me off, Chairperson.
My withdrawal. I want us to be live. And I think we are.
Oh yes. In slide 17, I just needed to find out on this information sharing, in terms of the, you said across government departments, where there was a report.
Slide 17. Yes?
Slide 17, the last bullet. Where there's a report on the performance of 2018 grade 12 learners who are beneficiaries on the social grant. I'm very interested in finding out the exact numbers, you know, the performance report in detail, you know, on how did these kids perform, and if we can do it in female and male students, just to see if there is a difference there and how did they perform. And maybe if we could just keep that in the next 5 years, just to see the progress and how is it working for us. And I was also wondering if, and this sharing amongst the government departments, obviously it's the Department of Higher Education, which other government department is part of this program. And then in slide 30, it is the issue of Leyabantu Abadala, the program Yabogogo. Firstly, I would just really like to commend the department. We are following that up, and it's quite a good program. Like the one we saw last on the news, there was those grannies who were into boxing. It was very, very interesting. And but my concern is that we see these things happening and awareness fana nabosoweto in Bulugwane nizoyeshiho, you know. We don't see these things happening in places who are dubbed to be semi-rural, like Abo Begesdal, Abo Western area. They don't have such things. And those are communities that are very impoverished, and I think those grannies need that, because you find grannies there orphans and struggling financial and all those things, and I think this would help them in terms of relieving stress and all of that. So if we can look at having such things in such townships and not concentrate mainly on the known townships, which are bigger townships. And then there was an issue as well on slide 58 on the annual financial statements on page 58. On program 4, it says the operative word will be savings. I don't know if I understood it correctly, but there were savings made from what I understood, on because there were less participants that are invited in those named programs, and that concerns me that
the 2% might not be much, but I think it could be used, especially in programs like human trafficking. And in World AIDS Day, why do we have a saving in this kind of program? You know, because actually there should be overspending in this kind of program. So why are there savings and underspendings in such a program? And if I understood correctly, when we were dealing with the budget votes and all of that a few months ago, I don't know if I'm correct, but I think the budget on this program was cut. So I don't know if I'm correct, but if I will be corrected on that one, because if that's the that's the issue. I don't know, maybe it was cut because they saw an underspending, which is such a serious concern. So if we could have an explanation on why the underspending and the saving on that program. And then I did not write a slide here, so I'll have to skip it. Yes, I don't know why I did not write. But it's based on gender-based violence, the command center. It was said that this hotline, you gave us numbers of SMSs you got and the calls you got. What is that number? Because I don't think a lot of people know about it. Is it in connection with the Thuthuzela centers, or is it a different thing altogether, if we can just understand that? And the Thuthuzela centers as well, what is happening? I thought maybe we could hear about that here. I visited one a week ago, Ekhayelitsha, at the hospital there. It's not happening, Mam Lindi. There was one social worker who was an auxiliary, and she was saying that even safety on its own, because some victims run there during the attack from maybe the boyfriend, and the boyfriend follows her, and she cannot deal with that kind of situation because there's no security. So she's under a threat of being attacked herself. And she was complaining about not having support, you know, from the management of the hospital itself. And she was under the impression that Thuthuzela is a private business of some sort. So she was not clued up at all of what is expected of her, what is supposed to be done in that center.
That's in Khayelitsha.
In Khayelitsha, in that regional, is it the regional hospital? Khayelitsha, just opposite the SASSA offices. Yes, yes. So if we can at least just look into the Thuthuzela centers and try and help and assist on what is going on down there. And there is also, she was also saying that there are also people who come, women who come with drug-related issues and prostitution. And she just felt overwhelmed. She doesn't know how to deal with such things. So maybe the Thuthuzela centers need to be visited, and we see how we can equip and capacitate those auxiliary social workers who are there, so that they can be able to help. Khayelitsha is a very volatile community. They really need the Thuthuzela Center. And Nkosi, Chairperson.
Honorable Abrams.
Chair, it's 7 minutes after one. Are we not going to...
I'm chairing.
Are you chairing?
You must learn not to take other people's jobs.
I'm feeling... Sugar levels, Jay.
Or Ulambi. As Iwonga. All right, okay. Let's leave it there. Let's come back at 10 to. I think Honorable Abraham wants to eat. Let's come back at 10 to. Let's go and eat. Tell us where we eat. No, just tell us where we're at. Others are going to go to the loo. Fungile will be gone. First entrance on the left as you go this way. Get exit, go left, and then the first entrance, you eat there. 10 to, I'll be sitting here. and calling on Honorable Abrams to take the platform. Thank you. Lendo yako mamlendi izawulu.